Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. As the disembodied voice said, Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and One News Now. Fred, by the way, I got to say, I was on our Facebook Today's Issues feed, and someone said, you looked angry. Are you angry?
My Chicago Blackhawks are not in the playoffs, so I take
a little
that
sour.
Personally.
Yeah, a little sour.
A little sour, but yeah, I'll get over it.
So, folks, those of you who are watching, and you can watch, by the way, Today's Issues on Facebook or on YouTube. If you just got to see what we look like, you will be sorely disappointed. But Fred is, to answer one of you, Fred is not angry. He's just suffering through the NHL hockey playoffs without his beloved Chicago Blackhawks in the playoffs, and that's the first time in a long time.
Second year in a row.
Yeah.
Time for some major trading going on there.
Yeah.
But I'm not bitter.
But you're not bitter. But you ate a half gallon of ice cream last night.
That's
but you're not
right.
bitter. You're
That's
not
right.
upset.
That's right.
So, well, we want to welcome in Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Good morning, Steve.
Good afternoon on the East Coast. Fred, I noticed you have a bunch of cough drops, and I think your voice is sounding a little tired. Maybe people are hearing you being a little tired voice and thinking that that's angry.
But that's right. That has to do nothing to do with Chicago Blackhawks.
All the pollen out there.
That has to do with allergies
in
the Deep South. We've had a storm of yellow pollen.
Yeah, you hear about a whiteout when you have a really severe snowstorm.
Uh-huh.
This is a yellowout down here.
Bad year.
The pollen.
Bad year. So that's why I've been welcoming the rain, because
yes.
it kind of takes that pollen out of the air.
And puts it on the ground or on your car.
Yes.
Hey, listen, no joke here. The pollen has been so bad this year. This is going to sound like I'm telling a joke. It's not. We have a Great Pyrenees. He's actually got allergies.
No.
He's got a cough from the pollen count, high pollen count.
Here,
he'll sit there and go,
take a cough drop home to him.
And so it's funny. Now, he's normally white. He's yellow. We got to call him Yellow Dog now.
That's not
really that part. But anyway, so let's take a turn to the more serious aspects of weather. And we had a kind of a very rough storm go through the South, I guess because of this cold front that's up in the Midwest.
It's all one. It started, the weather that we had kind of started in Texas, and there were some tornadoes there, or there's some deaths there, and it crossed through Louisiana into Mississippi. We had a couple deaths in southern Mississippi, or down by Starkville, where Mississippi State is.
Yeah.
It progressed on and hit the Masters at they had to rush Sunday's final round of the Masters because of that storm. And now it's kind of making its way up the coast. And it was tornadoes and everything down here. I think it was like really strong winds and thunderstorms north. And it's kind of exiting the country. But it has been a real bad storm. A lot of tornadoes. 8 people dead, including a couple of kids that got crushed in the back of a car.
Oh my God!
When a tree fell on them. So
Franklin, Texas, really got hit hard. I think more than 50 homes were destroyed
by a tornado.
By a tornado, yes. And that's about 125 miles south of Dallas. Small community there, but they got really hammered.
Yeah.
So be praying for those folks.
All right, Steve, what's next?
Well, I wanted to just, you guys spent a second or two talking hockey. I want to just, we talked about Augusta. Tiger Woods made the comeback for the ages. If you're a golf fan, even if you're not, and just kind of a culture fan, Tiger has been away ever since he ran into some domestic problems, which are not something that is to be proud about. But
right.
But he made a comeback. The first time he's ever had to come back from several shots down in the last round to win a major.
Well, this is the first major tournament he's won in how long?
I think it's like 10 years since he won his
last.
Now,
that's extraordinary for an athlete in any sport.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
To be out of that kind of winning ways for 10 years.
Right.
And then to come back and beat the cream of the crop. This is at the Masters. And win it all.
It's interesting to think if he hadn't run into his trouble, and to boot, not only was there the emotional, the divorce and the abuse allegations and all that, but he ran into some back trouble, some physical troubles.
Yes,
as
he
well.
Did. I forgot about that.
And so if he hadn't had that, but he was racking up majors at just an unprecedented rate. And even with a 10-year hiatus, he has the chance to set all-time numbers.
Yeah.
So it's just remarkable.
Well, it's one of those stories where, and again, this is setting aside, we're not making any judgments, folks, on, I don't know the real details. He got divorced, unfaithful, and there were, like you said, allegations of domestic violence and all those kind of things. Setting all that aside, not that it's not important, I'm just saying it's an extraordinary accomplishment coming back from all that. I hope he was humbled by all that and has changed, you know, his ways. And I love a
he's
good
grown up, I think, a bit.
Redemption story anyone.
He had his kids at the Masters with him. Brent just handed me the note. It's the first time he's won the Masters since 2005, so it's 13 years between Masters titles.
Well, 14, yes.
Between Masters titles. It's 19, that's true. Hmm. But he had his two kids with him, looked like they were, you know, well taken care of and well loved and everything. So, yeah, I think he's bouncing back. I don't know that he would be the model citizen
right.
or the model Christian, or you don't want to envy and try to copy his golf game. But I think we could leave the rest of his life right. to a later redemption, we hope.
Yeah, that's right. I hope for a changed life, as I do for anyone like
that.
Who's in the public eye. I hope they come to Christ. And
yeah.
We all have skeletons that are buried, let me put it this way, things that are forgiven forgotten, and I hope that for Tiger Woods. I don't wish him any ill will.
Right.
So anyway, all right, good.
Speaking about redemption, the movie Unplanned continues to do well at theaters, and we're finding out that it has had some cultural ramifications as well. It was very interesting to hear Chuck Konzelman.
Now explain what the movie's about, just
Unplanned
for those just tuning in.
Unplanned is a movie about Abby Johnson. It's her story. She was a Planned Parenthood clinic director, and she saw the actual abortion. She was asked to go back into a back room, saw the actual abortion, and it just changed her life. She saw that it was an actual baby that was being torn limb for limb. It crushed her, and she left the Planned Parenthood clinic that she was managing and started becoming a pro-life activist. And it's been having this effect. I want you to listen to something that Chuck Konzelman, who's the director and the writer of Unplanned, he was at a congressional hearing. They talked a lot about, in this hearing, about how the social media and other media types have been trying whatever they're worth to try to kill this movie. They wouldn't allow its ads. Somebody spiked its Twitter account, canceled it, and then took all the members away. There's just a lot of stuff that happened to make this movie not succeed. It has succeeded nonetheless, and by the measure we're about to hear, succeeded in ways that surprised me. This is Chuck Konzelman at a congressional hearing the other day.
But I will say that after about 10 days in release, or a couple more now, we have had approaches through Abby Johnson's organization, and then there were none. I believe we have something approaching 1% of the abortion workers in the United States seeking help to leave the industry. Now that's based. The number of actual workers who have reached out is 94. I believe there's something on the order of about 700 clinics nationwide. If they all had 12 employees. I wasn't a math major, but I think we still get to about a little better than 1%. So I think on the order of 1% of the abortion workers in the United States, after getting one look at them being portrayed on film, and it serves, I think, also as some evidence that they're not being portrayed as monsters, have decided to change their lives and their profession and what they do for a living.
Hmm. Isn't that cool?
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
So we are talking about a story in the movie, Unplanned, about Abby Johnson. This is based on a true story. Abby Johnson was a Planned Parenthood clinic director. She had her life transformed by actually being forced, because they were shorthanded, to go back and help with an abortion. And this movie's portraying, and I've seen it, it's just an outstanding Christian movie. And Christian movies are getting much better. And this movie, according to what he was saying, is causing other abortion clinic workers, other workers in the abortion industry to say, I don't want to be in this butcher's yard either.
Which is kind of what's surprising about that to me is that I can understand an Abby Johnson or two that just kind of have their eyes closed to what's going on. But I think what's happening in these abortion clinics is that they are really creating a wall to not let anybody, even those that work there, know the truth about what happens behind those walls. And now it's striking me that there are a number of workers at Planned Parenthood Clinic who may be the people in charge of stocking the shelves and making appointments on the phone, maybe counseling, but they never get back to the nitty gritty.
Well, and I'll say this, Fred, I saw the movie,
mm-hmm.
and the two scenes where they show the abortion is stunning.
Yeah,
I mean, if you know nothing about what's happening,
mm-hmm.
have you seen it?
Not
you
sure.
You haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance to see it, mm-hmm. you see that one is. Well, I don't want to give too much away, mm-hmm. but
if you haven't seen it by now, it's been 4 weeks, it's been out a month.
Two scenes of abortion, one involving the RU-486 pill, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one where she sees the ultrasound sonogram kind of thing, the image of the baby. If you have a conscience, it's stunning. So, go ahead.
Okay, here's the point. How much more evidence do our lawmakers have to have? Before they stand up, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, it is absolutely diabolical what's happening behind the doors of Planned Parenthood.
Right.
How much more evidence do you need to say we must stop giving Planned Parenthood $500 million a year of taxpayers' money?
Right.
You know, it's sickening. They come out every time, well, you know, abortion's only part of our business. We do all of this other stuff. All the other stuff you can get somewhere else, folks.
Right.
So stop it right now. Hold your lawmakers, again, Democrat or Republican, hold them accountable. Enough is enough. Planned Parenthood should not be able to do what it's doing because it depends greatly on that $500 million.
Well, and Planned Parenthood was given the option from the Trump administration. My understanding is they were given the option if you will spin off the abortion part of yes. Planned Parenthood, separate it from the part that does the women's health stuff, we'll give the money to the women's health side. And they said no.
No.
And we had Danielle Parker on during the last segment mm-hmm. when she said she kind of slipped in unnoticed to this meeting at a liberal Christian college, the church right next door to it in Berea, Kentucky. And the phone app that Planned Parenthood has developed where you can, if you're a teenager, you can chat with a Planned Parenthood representative, and they will take you step by step how you can deceive your parents mm-hmm. and keep them in the dark as you go and get an abortion. Mm-hmm. Do you talk about diabolical?
Yeah.
This is a diabolical organization, Planned Parenthood, and this is a wonderful film. And we encourage folks to go see it.
Now, just the I don't know if it's a caveat, but the truth about it is it's an R-rated movie, and that's one of the things that Chuck Kunzelman was talking about, the roadblocks that someone threw in front of this to try to discourage church people and religious people and young people from going. But it is, and what they have come back with, they're saying, the unplanned people say, well, we're disappointed in the rating. It didn't help us. But in the end, it kind of is an indication of how brutal abortion is, and the truth of it is.
So that it requires an R rating.
And the other thing that I remember about the movie was the people that worked the fence that were there. And what I loved about it is when you hear about clinic workers or protesters or whatever the media calls them, these anti-abortion, they'll call them anti-abortion protesters. This really showed what I think is the norm, which is the heart of these pro-lifers who stand on the fence and just beg these women not to go in and to do them and offer them help, offer them love, offer them support, and just doing a great job of it. And this movie really showed that too. I appreciated it for that.
I do want to, before we move on, I do want to let our listeners know we are also, I also want to point out, we are also promoting a movie that is that airs this week, The Pilgrim's Progress, which, what was it, Pilgrim's Movie, I'll have to see, get the website for me, Brent, if you can. American Family Association is helping to promote and support this movie. It is based on the John Bunyan book from the 1600s. And what's the website for that for folks?
Pilgrims.movie.
Pilgrims.movie. That's right. It was something unique about the website. Pilgrims.movie, because it's got a limited showing of about 750 screens Thursday night, and then I think a matinee on Saturday. So we also want folks to go take a look at this and support it.
Yeah, and this is one of it's a not a Fandango. What's the name of the
A Fathom event.
Fathom event. That's why you're not going to see it listed for a couple of weeks on end. It's a special showing. It costs a little bit more, but much, much worth it. A great book, by the way. I just loved the book. It's such an intriguing concept written from a long, long time
ago. Based on the allegory. And then the animation is fantastic. Great job on this. Pilgrims.movie. Okay, Steve, what else we got?
Let's talk about some outrage or some snowflake
Absolutely,
stories.
Let's do it.
I want to take you to Laguna Beach, California, which is in Orange County down in Southern California. Their police department decided that they want to update the police cars. They had police cars that were all white, and the police, the word police is on the side, and it was outlined. You could see it, but it was a little dull by their comparison. So what they did is they decided to put they superimposed police over an American flag so that inside the letters you saw the stars and stripes. Well, some people in Laguna Beach, and they painted the car black and white to make it like others in Orange County. Some people in Laguna Beach decided that the design was way too aggressive and that it didn't represent the community. A flag doesn't represent an American community. What are we coming to?
Yeah, I don't understand the aggressive part. I mean, I don't understand the other part, but I don't understand the aggressive part. What are they? Are they talking about a microaggression for
people
who are illegal immigrants here?
They didn't use that word microaggression, at least that I read. But when you couple the narrative that police are out to get you, especially with minority communities, with the American flag not being really a symbol that the left or progressives appreciate. I was talking with, Dr. Robert Land, Dr. Richard Land, last week. He was pointing out something that I had remembered but kind of forgotten. We're the only nation that doesn't have an identity based on color or
ethnicity
or ground. We are a culture that is based on an ideal. What makes America unique is that it's multicultural, multilingual even, but it's based on this ideal that freedom is for everybody and we can control our own destiny with our politics. I just think this goes counter to the narrative of having an American flag on a police car. It's sad, but it's happening there.
Well, I think it's the reaction, too, is just they quoted a bunch of what they described as artists.
Yeah.
As finding this to be oppressive of some type. But, you know, I think it just goes to the narrative right now. Donald Trump was elected in 2016, Make America Great Again.
Right.
And it's almost, and I'm afraid in many schools, colleges, we're teaching our kids that America is not great. America is evil. And I think the flag emblazoned across the words police in some people's mind represents an evil America.
Yeah.
An America that is not great. An America, as Barack Obama said, needs to change, become something else. I think it's all part of the, you know, we need to be a socialist nation, the whole thing to change America. And so I've got a feeling Orange County is still fairly conservative. Old Ronald Reagan country down there. And I got a feeling this is a case of a small group of people, because the media is liberal. They stick a microphone in front of their face, and it gets all blown up.
Yeah.
I think if you were to poll Laguna Beach area, that whole area in there, they'd stand by this.
Yeah. Well, if they won't stand by the American flag, it's we're hurting in ways that I couldn't have imagined just five years ago.
Yeah.
So,
I continue to be very worried for Christian colleges and universities. So next, I'm going to take you to Upland, Indiana, and it is the home of Taylor University, a Christian college, an evangelical Christian college, who has decided that they are going to invite Vice President Mike Pence, who was Indiana's governor, to speak at an alumni
commencement. Sir?
The commencement. He's going to be the graduation speaker. Over 3,300 people have signed a change.org position to get his invitation rescinded. One Taylor grad is ashamed and shaking with rage and feels personally attacked that one of the favorite sons of Indiana is coming home to do and a very outspoken Christian coming to a Christian university, and these people are not having any of it. Now, the university is standing by its guns. It's going to invite him. They're not rescinding the invitation, but it just is another indication of maybe where our universities, and especially Christian colleges and universities,
it's stunning
are
this
stumbling.
Is an evangelical school. Now, I will withhold judgment on the student body until I see how they respond to Vice President Pence when he comes to speak. Sometimes students will be very, very rude to a speaker. Only conservative speakers are never rude to liberal, leftist, progressive, socialist, communist, et cetera, speakers. I want to see if they turn their backs. Sometimes they'll do that while they speak. They stand up and turn their backs. Mm-hmm. I want to see how if they are going to be rude. I don't mind people speaking their mind and signing a petition. Okay, that's the American way. I think they're crazy for the reasons they're choosing. I want to see how they behave when he comes, if they boo when he gets up to speak. I just want to wait and see how they respond.
I have one more story for you here along the same lines. You remember the New York Democratic Senate was the body that cheered when they announced that horrific abortion bill that allowed abortion up until the moment of birth.
Right.
Well, the New York Assembly Democrats voted 15 to 11. Well, I don't know if it's just the Democrats or if that's everybody, but they voted 15 to 11 to block a bill that wanted to expand college tuition aid for what are known as Gold Star children. These are children of deceased and disabled military veterans. Now, it just so happens that a little earlier, they had passed a budget that set aside $27 million for college tuition aid for illegal immigrants. So they were wanting to help illegal immigrants, but they don't want to help Gold Star kids.
All right, so let's see if we get this straight for our listeners, because it's getting close to lunch.
Yeah, I know.
Some of them are getting hangry. Okay, then so they're
if this doesn't make you hangry,
so they're probably thinking I didn't hear that right. So the democratically controlled New York Senate voted to end the program where they give college tuition help to children of veterans who have been injured or killed.
It's assembly, and I don't know that they ever started it, but they voted it down.
Okay, but they voted recently $27 million for college tuition for illegal immigrants.
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
Yes.
Well, you can be proud of yourself, New York. Mm-hmm. You'd be very proud of yourself once again for the kind of people you're sending to your state legislature. All right, on that note of sarcasm, we're going to close it up for this issue, this edition of Today's Issues. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Stay tuned, and Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.
Many of our greatest